Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are. Or what you are. Good evening, it's time for Bedtime Stories. We're reading A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. And this is Chapter 12, A Dangerous Journey. It was 1792, 3 years later, but still the revolution raged. France no longer had a king and queen, and most of the nobility had fled to England and other countries. A favorite gathering place for the French noblemen was Tellson's Bank in London. As the revolution had neared, many sent their money and jewels to the bank's London office for safekeeping. At Tellson's office in Paris, which was a city in chaos, there was fear that rampaging mobs would break in and destroy important papers. Someone from the London office had to journey to Paris to see that the bank's papers and records were protected or hidden, for it was nearly impossible to get them out of France. Jarvis Lorry offered to go. I wish I could go in your place, said Charles Darnay to the banker. The trip is long and difficult, especially in winter. Paris is in great disorder, and you might be in danger.
Me in danger? Cried Mr. Lorry in surprise. No, Charles, you would be, for you are French by birth and a nobleman too, and you left your native land to live in England. Imagine how frightened Lucy would be if she ever dreamed that you were thinking of going to Paris.
I thought that perhaps I might be able to persuade the revolutionaries to be less violent.
Enough, Charles, interrupted Mr. Lorry. I am going. I am leaving tonight.
Alone?
I'm taking Jerry Cruncher with me.
Just then a bank clerk approached Mr. Lorry's desk with a letter. As he handed it to the banker, Charles saw the writing on the front. Urgent, to be forwarded to the monsieur who used to be known as the Marquis Saint-Evremond of France. Charles paled. No one except Dr. Manette, to whom he had confided his secret on the morning of his wedding, knew his real name. Not Lucy, not Mr. Lorry, no one. Mr. Lorry looked at the letter, then explained to Charles,
For weeks I've been asking every Frenchman I know, but no one can tell me where this Marquis Saint-Evremond can be found.
Charles turned to Mr. Lorry.
I know the fellow, he said quietly. I will deliver the letter.
Returning home quickly, Charles locked himself in his study and opened the letter. It was from Theophile Gabelle, the keeper of the posting house in the village whose land was owned by the Saint-Evremond family. It read,
Monsieur, formerly the Marquis, having long been in danger of my life at the hands of the villagers, I have been seized and brought to Paris to the prison of the Abbaye. I will have a trial and surely be sentenced to die. My crime is said to be treason against the people, treason because I have served you. They don't listen when I tell them that you were on their side and that you ordered me not to collect rent from them and even to return the taxes they paid to your uncle and to your father. I pray that you will return and save me. I beg you to help me, to be true to me as I have been to you. Your suffering servant, Gabelle.
Charles made a decision at that moment. He would return to France, not only to save his loyal servant, but to restore his good name as well. But no one would know of his plans, not even Lucy, until he was gone. That night, Charles sat up late, writing two letters. One to Lucy and one to her father, explaining the reasons for his journey. By the time the letters were read the following morning, Charles was gone. The trip to Paris would have been difficult in the best of times. During the French Revolution, however, special dangers lurked. At every village, Charles met citizen patriots, their muskets raised as they demanded identification papers and checked names against their own lists. It was only by paying for the protection of armed patriots that he finally reached the gates of Paris. Where are this prisoner's papers? A revolutionary guard demanded. Charles started at the term prisoner, but produced his papers and Gabelle's letter. Moments later, he was led into a guardroom filled with soldiers and citizens, all wearing the red caps and red, white, and blue feathers of the revolution.
Citizen Defarge, said an officer to the guard, is this the emigrant Evremond?
Yes.
Turning to Charles, the officer announced, Evremond, you have been sentenced to take the prison of La Force.
Good heavens, exclaimed Charles, why?
We have new laws and new crimes since you left France. But I have returned to France of my own free will, in answer to a letter from a fellow Frenchman, a letter that you have just read. Do I not have a right to do that?
Emigrants have no rights. Now follow Citizen Defarge.
Once they were outside, Defarge whispered, "Aren't you the man who married the daughter of Dr. Alexander Manette, once a prisoner in the Bastille?" "Yes," answered Charles with surprise. "My name is Ernest Defarge, and I have a wine shop in Saint-Antoine. Maybe you have heard of me from your..." "Yes! My wife came to your shop to be reunited with her father." "Why on earth did you come back to France?" asked Defarge. "You heard me tell your officer why I am here. Don't you believe me?" "It's not important whether I do or not." "Then please, just answer one question for me. Will I be left to rot unjustly in the prison without being able to communicate with the outside world?"
"Who knows? Many other people have been put in prison unjustly, too."
"But please, Citizen Defarge, it is of the greatest importance that I tell Mr. Lorry of Tellson's Bank, an English gentleman who is now in Paris, that I have been thrown into La Force. Can you arrange for that message to be delivered?"
"I will do nothing for you, Evremonde," snapped Defarge. "You are my enemy."
End of chapter 12. Good night.